In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, there's a glimpse of Jesus' reaction to his disciples. Philip and Andrew tell him that some priests were asking to see him, as he often does when he's answered them directly. He did not say, "Send them away, for sure of them coming." Instead, he took a moment to teach, to lay out a reality his followers needed to understand. Jesus was saying, "Oh, they want to see me, do they? Or will I let them see what I'm all about? I will let them know what God is doing." His reply to Philip and Andrew showed his readiness for his final days, the climactic encounter between the ways of the world and the way of God. Jesus said it was time for him to reveal what all humankind would see about him and his role in the divine life. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This must have elated and excited his disciples and the Greeks if they heard him. Well, why? They would have thought by being glorified, Jesus meant he would make all things well. Having recently experienced him raising Lazarus from the dead, maybe they thought he would work even greater wonders, bringing in all of their difficulties in their lives. Or maybe we're thinking about the traditional expectation of what the true Messiah would do to restore Israel via a glorious military victory. Maybe prevail over all the world with leaders on their knees cowering before him. This euphoria, however, would have been short-lived. A different wonder would be revealed. A different kind of concrete quest Jesus had in mind. The conquest of the cross. He began to lay out the hard truth about what lay ahead. In a similar way, if we worship this Sunday, one week before Palm Sunday, our gospel lets us see what lies ahead for us in making the Holy Week journey. Jesus used a parable that mirrors his forthcoming crucifixion. Quote, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Unquote. A seed's full potential cannot be realized unless it is buried and dies to grow fully. Jesus' death and resurrection is the vehicle through which all humankind, not just disciples and Greeks, could see what he was all about. It was by dying that the power of God in Jesus would be fully released. By glorified, Jesus meant crucified. Jesus said that only by his death would true life come. Just as a grain of wheat can only release its power by being buried and dying to grow. To make sure that all would understand this situation, Jesus said, quote, "Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Unquote. So what's true for Jesus is true for all of us. We must die to the values of the world to gain true life. Only in dying to self can the power of God be embraced and released. As Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will be my servant. Will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Often in the past and the present, this truth is proved out. When concerned, committed people are prepared to die for their cause, much can be achieved in that particular case when people are prepared to die for their cause. Christianity first grew by the deaths of the courageous faithful. As Tertullian, a Christian writer of his first century, said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Now we can become of real use to God by burying our selfish goals and our selfish desires. Think of the saints, or our own heroes, the ones who put aside personal safety and security for the sake of others, who abandon selfish gain to meet the needs of others. In such actions, the world gains spiritual health. In today's gospel, Jesus lets us see the perfect example of the kind of risk-taking that the love of God requires. The world says that we'll live longer and prosper more if we are careful, avoid risks, and remain in our homes safe and secure. However, Jesus teaches us that living this way may lead to a longer life or greater comfort, but we will not live as well. Real, genuine, meaningful living involves much more. Only by spending our lives, Jesus says, can we keep our true lives. Jesus calls us into a give-it-away faith, a give-it-away faith. He calls us to see his vision, a life of meaning and of glory. Now, do people see Jesus in us? See the servant Lord who washed the feet of his friends, the prophet who cleansed the temple, the healer who made the blind see. If we are to let people see Jesus in us, we must go ourselves to sit at his feet, to let him heal us, feed upon his body broken for us, and above all stand by the cross. Unlike his fellow Jews, Jesus viewed glory not as an acquisition of power to control others, but as the ability to serve others for a greater purpose. In our gospel, he taught that only dying to self can bring forth the redeemed life God has in store for us. Only by spending life can we retain it. Only in the context of dying to self and living in God can we see the essential Jesus, to see him as a living image of God. As we move rapidly toward Holy Week, we should join the Greeks, asking to see Jesus, to discover what he is all about. As we witness the ultimate example he provides, we can follow him into a life of true meaning and become transformed by what we see. Amen.